Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. Welcome to All About Android, episode 59, recorded on Monday, May 7th, 2012. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
And I'm Ron Richards, back in the saddle.
Yay. And I'm Nicole Lee, replacing the Jason Howell who's gallivanting across the globe today.
He has. It's become Where in the World is Jason Howell. That's what it's become. I'm going to play that game on my Apple II Plus at home.
I don't think I'm his Google Latitude friend, otherwise I'd look it up. But he did tweet out that he was in Hong Kong a few hours before we started this podcast. Mm-hmm. So he's on his way to the Philippines, my homeland.
Exciting.
And so it'll be exciting. We'll miss another week. So Jason Howell fans, sorry. And he apologizes. He doesn't want to miss this.
I know. It kills him to miss the show.
It totally kills him. It really does.
Last week, I apologized. I missed the show. My day job got in the way. But I was distraught. I really don't want to miss the show.
Yeah. And I had to go to NAB. I was like, yeah. I have to do my show right, still. How am I not going to do my show?
There's a real psychological thing going on here
with the show. It's like we're bound on Mondays.
Yeah.
Nicole, thank you so much. Last week you filled in for Ron.
Thank you.
And who owes you In-N-Out Burgers?
Yes, we're working out the In-N-Out.
We're working out the debt situation. The debt repayment.
It's going to be an In-N-Out payment plan, really. It's going to be more, you know, like
here's
a double-double.
Installment plans. Okay,
I get it. Animal style. We'll build. I'll pay him. Hey, listen, Richards always pays his debt, so come on.
And so Jason will now owe you something.
Ron did buy
cake for us. We have chocolate. We have more. Somebody said this week in diabetes because we've had cupcake several times now, and now we have chocolate cake.
This is my chocolate cake covered in guilt.
Yeah,
as I felt bad for missing the show last week. So
yeah, mom's chocolate cake.
Oh, I left the price on there. This is my mother used to do all the time at Christmas. At like
Too
Christmas
late.
Or birthday, she'd
They've
be,
already seen it.
Yeah, she'd just be like, oh, I left the price on. Don't look.
Don't look, everybody. Don't look. Moist chocolate cake frosting with a rich chocolate icing. I'm so excited.
Yum, yum.
You know, I'm just delaying and delaying what we really need to talk about because
I know because Jason's not here.
The first story off the top of the bat is, you know, you guys know I'm court legal stuff, whatever. This week, we are going to talk later about the Samsung Galaxy S3. Ron gets the big load on that one. I'm so excited to talk about that. We are going to start with the Google Oracle case. We've got some Google TV talk as well. And then we have the smorgasbord of apps are all across the board. I don't even think any of them are the same.
They're not.
None of them are the same. But let's go ahead and dive into our news. All right, since we last talked about Google versus Oracle in the copyright portion of the trial, there have been some decisions made. But yet we don't have a complete decision.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, a little confusing.
Yeah. It's not quite decided.
So the jury ruled that Google did infringe on Oracle's Java copyrights. But it was unable to reach a decision on whether this infringement was acceptable under the law.
I haven't seen it put up like presented like that so simply. It's like, well, you did infringe on the copyright, but we're not sure if it's acceptable under
right.
the law.
So I guess part of the questionnaire, Chad, if you go to the Read Write Web article on our doc, it says the jury had four questions to answer with two or three parts. The first and most important question was, it's the only one I'll read. Number one, as to the compilable code for the 37 Java API packages in question taken as a group, has Oracle proven that Google has infringed the overall structure, sequence, and organization of copyrighted works? Yes or no? B, has Google proven that its use of the overall structure, sequence, and organization constituted, quote unquote, fair use? Yes or no? So, as this article says here, the jury said yes to number one, A, but was hung for 1B, and you have to have both of them. Everybody has to be in agreement with the word I'm looking
for. Right. So I guess what the jury seems to be saying is that it appears to us that copyright was violated, but right. whether or not it's a permissible violation.
Whether it was fair use or
based
not
on fair
is,
use.
Is the question.
It's the question.
And so really, like when I was reading this, when I was going over it early, my main thought was, is this a byproduct of the jury not being knowledgeable enough to answer these
questions?
Well,
I saw some articles on that today of like, was the jury qualified? I'm like, well, you can't just...
Well,
screen
no, but,
them,
but
I mean,
but that I mean that that's where it gets real. I mean, because when you're talking, I mean, I've been watching a lot of The Good Wife, so I've watched a lot of legal for like I blew through like four episodes on Saturday. So bear with me.
Okay, so but, you know, but have you been on a jury before?
No, I've never.
I have been on a jury.
I've
before.
I got eliminated so quickly. You have no idea. They just took one look at me and they were like, no. But no, I've gotten screened, but I've watched a lot of TV shows. And listen to me. This is why
I've watched 10 seasons of Law and Order, and I'm qualified to speak on this subject.
And this is why I'm a podcast.
Oh, and, by the way, wasn't the Community episode about Law and Order amazing? Okay,
that
sorry.
Was the only thing better than that was the Dean's Come on Eileen song in the last episode. But to my point, is that, you know, yes, you know, in a murder trial, in insurance, in any other sort of criminal type thing, it's a jury of your peers. And it's like, did he kill them or did he not kill them? Did they, you know, like, did the company do wrong or did they not do wrong? But when you get into this layer where when we have trouble with it and it's our jobs to understand this and be able to talk it back. I don't know. I didn't look at what the makeup of the jury was. I don't know if it's even published, but you got to wonder if it is like, did this fly so far over their head? And,
well, it's interesting because they did make the cross section of the jury public. There's a San Francisco Muni bus driver on there.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's a retired school teacher on there. So it's a very wide you know, cross section across the public. There's like a professor on there, I think. I can't really remember the whole list. So it kind of depends. I mean, it's a whole part of being on your jury that you have to be educated enough to make a decision like this, right?
So. Yeah. Right. Right, and they, you know, when they do jury selection, they go through
that
so much. They throw out people you think are going to make it onto the jury, and like, oh wow, that person's out. Okay,
what's interesting though is that when in this particular case, it seems as if Oracle can say, "Ha ha, we're right, you infringed us," but with this kind of return, Google can immediately call for a mistrial.
Absolutely.
And
that's what they've done.
It's not clear.
Yeah.
So that's what they've done. Google currently has called for a mistrial. So things aren't quite answered yet, and that issue will be briefed later this week. Judge Alsup, the judge, has yet to rule whether APIs are in fact protectable by copyright. And what I thought was interesting here in the Wired article that we have, I'll put it in our show notes. I'm just going to quote the Wired article. Throughout the trial, Google had tried to poke holes in Oracle's accusations, saying that the codes were very different from one another. Android has about 15.3 million lines. Oracle's recent Java version has about 4.7 million, and that they were only similar in their method signatures, code that defines the inputs and outputs for part of a computer program. Google also presented email evidence that when it built Dalvik, it went to great lengths to find engineers that wouldn't be influenced by precious Java programming work. Out of those 15.3 million lines of code, Oracle can only accuse Google of copying 9. But those are the 9.
Those are the 9.
The key 9.
Yeah.
I honestly think this is going to go much longer, and I wouldn't be surprised if it makes its way to D.C.
Well, this is copyright, and then they're going to move on to patents after this.
But no, I wouldn't be surprised at some point we're talking about this being in the Supreme Court and this all, because like this is such a legally groundbreaking case, and what happens from it is so important to the future of technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're going to see it just appeal after appeal after appeal, and I think it's eventually going to make all its way up to the Supreme Court.
I guess Tyler Ochoa, professor of copyright law at Santa Clara, was quoted by Ars Technica. Other people will be deterred from using Java as the basis for some non-standard thing in the future. It could be the case that Oracle wins the battle and loses the war.
Which is a great observation.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if Google loses the whole thing, I mean, that's really not a good precedent going forward.
Right.
Well, it's not a good precedent for either side.
For either side, really.
They both have so much going on. Yeah, no, but ultimately, like, in terms of who we're rooting for.
You know.
Well, last week we talked a little bit, just before to close, before we move on, last week we talked a little bit about findings during the case that revealed the original look of the Android phone in 2006. And because of that, people have dug up an old YouTube video with Sergey Brin and some other Android people demoing Android for the first time. And the keyboard looks like a BlackBerry. I just thought that was interesting. You could kind of scroll a little bit past. There's a little bit of talking heads. If you're watching the video, we're showing it, and we'll have a link on our show notes. But this was Android as it was presented early on, around 2007. And you can't see the keyboards, but on this link here, you'll see later that it looks very BlackBerry-y.
Right there.
They changed it. Yeah, right there. So
like I said last week, it reminds me a lot of the Facebook phone, the Cha-Cha.
Yeah, that does look like the Cha-Cha, and the Cha-Cha is now white.
Yeah,
but when you
yeah.
look through the video, you'll see, wow, there was Maps then, and you know,
sure,
lots
they
of
had
things.
The whole Gmail
they
thing.
They had the whole Gmail thing and everything. Sure. I just thought Google that was Talk. Interesting that people, you know, other blogs found that since we were talking about it, since it surfaced during the court case. But anyway, we will have more on the Google Oracle trial as we find out more in the upcoming weeks.
It's exciting. I mean, it is drama. I after this, I still believe there could be a Silicon Valley Law show.
Well, you're going to Especially, there's going to be a movie like the Social Network is going to be.
Well, I don't know if this is
Law and Order.
As dramatic
Silicon
movie.
Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
Law and
Seriously,
Order. Something
yeah,
like,
I think
well, shoot, they're doing that reality series.
Yeah, but So over in my little corner of the universe in the Google TV land, mm-hmm. you might remember earlier this year during CES, there was Eric Schmidt had the quote that Google TV would be in June, right?
This was December. Okay, yeah. We're a month away.
So we're a month away from that. So it's interesting to see that LG Electronics have announced that they're going to launch Google TV in their TVs in late May. They basically break it down. They say that production of Google TVs will start May 17th from our factory in Mexico, and U.S. consumers will be able to buy the product from the week of May 21st. Now, I don't know how big LG's market share is, but if you add LG's market share plus Sony's market share, that's a lot of TVs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's half the TVs, but I do have a friend who is a blogger and pundit who likes to poke fun at Google, so I'm going to be sending him this link and say, hey, look at this. But yeah, so it's really interesting to see. I don't have an LG TV. I don't know how good their TVs are or will be, but I imagine that with a large market share between Sony and LG, that's a pretty big footprint and a step closer to Eric Schmidt's kind of direction. They've already got some stuff. They've already got some software on their TVs already, like their Netcast software and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they balance between the two.
Yeah, we actually have a LG TV sort of sitting in the corner there for before you buy this week. But they do have their own proprietary software on there. They also have some smart TVs that they use sort of the smart TV platform on there. Mm-hmm. But this is Google TV, right? Which is Google branded and Google services. And
so now,
we'll see.
If we're watching numbers, according to the article here on, from Reuters, it says that LG doubled its share of 3D TV market share to 15.3% in Q4 of 2011.
Hmm.
So it's at least 15% at the end of 2011. Sony share had fell to 13% at the end of December 2011. So that's roughly 30, like better math, just under 30% of TVs at the end of 2011. You got to assume they've had some market share pickup maybe. So it's not 50%, but it's closer. So interesting that one of those deals actually, those mythic kind of deals actually happened. But if you are a Google TV fan, a little plug time, plug-a-rama, if you are a Google TV fan and you are in the San Francisco Bay Area, myself and Eileen, my esteemed colleague, we're going to be joining Google as well as some of our friends over at Vision 3 for Brian Brushwood's going to be there.
Remotely. Virtually.
But there's going to be a Google TV kind of meetup and hangout at the Sony store in Palo Alto. And we definitely encourage you all to come down, come say hi.
Free beer and food.
Yep, that's a good reason to get there.
And it's giveaways.
Limited number of slots in. So you got to go to the googletv.eventbrite.com link to go get your spot in line. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And for those of you not in Palo Alto, there's going to be a live hangout that we're going to be participating in.
Right.
So you can watch from home. So definitely check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Google TV team has been really cool to work with, and they want to do cool stuff around Google TV, and I'm all for it. So
yeah, I think there's going to be some reveal of some new hardware,
too. I know,
it should
be interesting.
So,
yeah, Google always likes to surprise.
And so you love your Sony Blu-ray, Google
TV. I love my Sony Blu-ray, it's fantastic.
I heard about something that you might like, too.
Ooh.
Exciting. I know. I was on a little conference call. I guess I'm moderating this event.
Oh,
Well
then.
I don't know how that happened, but it'll be fun.
I was just looking for a ride to Palo Alto.
I know. You were like, hey, Eileen, you want to come with me? I thought, hey, free food? All right, I'm there. there talking with some Google people.
That's what happens.
Okay, I'll be there.
That's what happens.
Oh, hey, Eileen, you want to moderate? I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that makes sense because Ron should answer all the questions. He knows all of that stuff. I'll just kind of be the referee for everybody.
Nice.
So, yeah, you guys can check that out. If you go to Google, like Ron said, googletv.eventbrite.com, there's a link for those of you who can't go to the event so you can watch the Hangout. And it's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
And we'll tweet it out, and I'll post it on my Google Plus page and all that sort of stuff so you can check that out. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be Prager from Rev3 and Rob from Rob DeMillo, and it'll be good to see Brian virtually, and we'll be there and free beer.
Dude, there's free stuff, and you might even walk away with some loot.
Exactly.
You get like a raffle card when you show up, and then a raffle ticket, and then you stay till the end of our Hangout. Then they do the giveaways. You might walk away with a tablet or a camera.
Are we qualified for the giveaways? Or probably not.
Probably not. I doubt that. No.
I wanted a transformer.
All right. Anyway, so
wait, a transformer.
Yeah.
That's not Sony. It's cool TV.
Oh, Sony. Right.
Yeah,
you're right. Oh, I gotta bring
store.
My tablet. You're right.
Yeah.
I'll bring my tablet.
Sorry.
Yeah, tablet S from Sony.
There you go. Okay, let's take a break before we move on, and we'd like to thank our sponsor for today's show, Audible. Audible.com. Go there. Audible.com is a leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. For listeners of All About Android, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you may consider downloading. Guess what I downloaded?
What did you download?
Molly Ringwald's biography.
Ooh. Awesome. Did you see Avengers?
I did see Avengers.
Did you see Harry Dean Stanton?
Yes, I did. Her dad. I'm Pretty in Pink.
Yep.
You're right.
Exactly.
I haven't listened to it yet, but you know, she just joined Twitter, and then I started looking her up, and then she'd been talking about her book, and I thought, well, let me see if Molly Ringwald. Oh, and she does the. She reads her own biography, and it's short.
Which makes
it's only
sense.
4 hours. So it's a lot about her and her life, getting the pretty back, friendship, family, and finding the perfect lipstick.
Oh, Molly Ringwald.
She's
back.
It's
about everything I've learned thus far and how to put it together and incorporate it all. It doesn't matter if you're married, divorced, remarried, or eternally single. The one thing we have in common is that we all turn 40 and wonder how we got there. And what we're going to do now.
I have a few years left for that.
I don't want to turn 40. Nobody said I would turn 40. What is this?
But she's a pretty good reader.
She looks great for 40. 40, whatever her age.
Yeah.
I think she's
never
42,
guessed
43.
That
she looks fantastic.
Old.
It's funny. She did a Reddit Q&A, what they call it, an AMA.
Yeah.
And somebody asked her, how do you, look so young still, in your age? She said her first answer was, I drink the blood of Kristen Stewart.
Wow.
And I'm like, I love this lady. So then I got the Audible book, and I'm going to listen to that. It's only 4 hours, and there's so many more. Steve Martin's biography is great.
I think he reads that, too.
He did read that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing. And, gosh, I have so many. Let's see here. To download this audiobook for free or another of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. Note, be careful now. Two-credit books are various small percentage, but like Game of Thrones is an example of two credits that you're not eligible through the free offer. But, just you'll see once you kind of start doing some shopping. And 99.5% of the books are one credit. But definitely check out audible.com. And, check it out. I mean, there's so many, many. I read the first two Girl with a Dragon Tattoo series, the Stieg Larsson books on Audible. Great. And they have some, once you find a voice reader that you really love, you might want to follow them. What other books they've read, too. I've been doing that as well. So, amazing. Again, thank you, Audible, for sponsoring our episode today. audiblepodcast.com/android.
Cool. Somebody in the chat room said that we should bring the watch to the Sony event. Can I do that? I can borrow that? Or
I already sent it back.
Oh!
That thing couldn't get out of here.
Dang it.
Anyway, let's not bring up bad memories.
let's move on to hardware.
Yes. I forgot about the bumper. All right, so last Thursday on May 3rd was a big kind of moment in Android phone hardware world because Samsung had their big Ballyhooed event, and they announced the Galaxy S3. Ton of coverage on this, ton of information, so bear with me as we go through it all. But so they announced it on May 3rd, and they officially announced it, and they announced it's going to be available in Europe on May 29th and in North America in June. And we've got some video from the event. I don't know if we want to roll that
or not. You can roll whatever you can, yeah. Chad. Well, because there's tons of, whatever you feel like, if you want to show us the photo, the phone, whatever.
But it's really interesting because leading up to it, there was the sheep ads. Like, they're starting to poke more and more fun. And they unveiled this commercial.
This commercial, if you're watching the video, is a little weird. It barely shows the phone, but it's...
Shares what's in your heart.
It's experiencing. You keep track of loved ones.
This phone is designed for humans.
Right.
That's their tagline, designed for
humans. It recognizes who you are. Like, this is smart technology, people.
It watches you.
It watches you.
It follows your every move. I mean, okay, it is basically a part of your brain.
It sees your best side.
And then we see people hugging. We have this couple that just got married. They're so happy. People are frolicking in the beach.
Shares the warmth of nature.
Sleeping. And, it recognizes when you sleep. Oh, I'll turn my screen off now.
It's like Santa.
What they don't reveal is that the S in Galaxy S3 stands for Skynet. And so now Skynet is watching. So it's got a lot of somewhat interesting technology that I didn't predict. Jason did predict successfully the blue and white globule representing the two colors that are available. So there's a blue and white version that are available. And so to get into the specs and some of that interesting tech that they rolled out, so it's got a 4.8-inch Super AMOLED display, an 8-megapixel camera on the back. It's got there's a 16 gig and a 32 gig version at first, and a 64 gig is going to be coming out later. So those you digital hoarders like yourself,
I am one. Yes,
64 gig. It's running the quad core Exynos processor. 8.6 millimeters thin. The official colors are actually pebble blue and marble white. So that's the official colors of those two things. Now, this is where it gets neat. It recognizes your eye movement, and it will stay on while you're looking at it. So if you're looking at the phone and you look away, or like the commercial said, you fall asleep, it will turn off.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Also, it's got not only facial recognition like we got an ice cream sandwich with the kind of secure lock, but it's also got gesture recognition as well. So we're talking about it's really utilizing that front-facing camera and the different kind of things that it could pick up from the user and working that into the operating system, which honestly at first sounds a little weird, but I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know. It's got the Samsung S-Voice voice recognition software and S-Beam. So you can transfer files wirelessly through a combination of NFC and Wi-Fi. It comes with 50 gig free Dropbox storage. Is that actually on Dropbox or on their solution?
On Dropbox.
On Dropbox. Yeah.
The C Pen stylus.
Not the S Pen. The C Pen.
The C Pen. Yep.
The K Pen.
Yeah.
K-Pen. Not the Spin, but the K Pen.
sources are saying it's coming to Sprint. But it's going to be available on May 29th in Europe and other markets to follow. LTE and HSPA Plus versions are going to be in the U.S. They're going to be opening up mobile PIN locations or glasshouse pop-up stores to help showcase the new phone. But what was even got piqued my interest was that there was a little bit of a cameo at the launch of Flipboard for Android,
which is
one of my favorite apps for the iPad.
Mm-hmm, right.
And up to this point has not been available on Android. Actually, I believe Android Central caught some video of it. I don't know if we could pull that.
Yeah, it was Phil Nickenson went to the to the event, our friend Phil, and he kind of just showed it off on the Galaxy S3. And, it looks very much like the iOS version, at least to my mind it does. I don't see anything too different there. But, it's one of those apps that I know people who have an iPad that are like, oh, I can't live without.
It's a killer app.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
it really
great.
Is a killer app. So now it's coming to Android. Now, like I said.
And I have to say, it kind of makes sense for the phone screen to be that big then, because it really makes use of Flipboard's very image-centric, very image-heavy, very magazine-like interface.
Now, I do got to say that a Samsung companion product, the Galaxy Note, probably would be perfect for Flipboard.
That's very true.
Larger. As well as I imagine it will scale up for tablets and that sort of thing. But still, that's...
Yeah,
So that was a neat little surprise that I didn't expect to see. And that's nice to see them combining kind of like a killer app kind of approach. Because mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that Android has a little bit been lacking with these hardware launches mm-hmm. is like, great, here's the phone and here's something that you can do with it. And, you know, yeah. by leveraging the apps.
I mean, I do worry that, you know, they're saying it's an exclusive to yeah. Flipboard. And I mean that, you know, but hopefully they'll roll it out.
Yeah, the thing about exclusives is that they end.
Yeah,
you true. Know, so that's it'll be for a certain period of time. Like I'm not gonna get the S3 because I'm in love with my Galaxy, but I want Flipboard at some point. So, but right. knowing the community, there'll be ways around it too. So, right. yeah.
so what do we think though? So you don't, you're not gonna get it because you just got a new phone.
Yeah, I just got a new phone. You're not gonna get it, but I think it's an impressive looking phone.
Nicole, you are in the market for a new Android phone. Is this something that you're interested in?
You know, especially with the Flipboard and all that. Well, for me, the design of it is very interesting to me, right? The 4.8-inch. Like, I'm not a big fan of super big 4.8-inch mm-hmm. type displays just because of the size of the phone. And, you know, we should say something about the phone's design as well, because there was an article.
Oh, that's right.
On, I think it was Android Police.
You're right. I forgot about that article. You're right. Basically, the article was, this is the first phone designed by Samsung lawyers.
Right. And the reason why they say that, because during the whole Samsung-Apple lawsuit situation, they were like, okay, it can't be rectangular.
Mm-hmm.
The front surface was bordered by black borders. You yeah. can't have that. You can't have substantial black borders above and below the screen. Where are the black borders?
Yeah.
Metallic surround framing the perimeter of the top surface. That's not... There's no metallics around. Mm-hmm. So they're all just sort of, you know.
Right, but that's such a snarky, nitpicky kind of
true.
Thing.
True.
You know, like.
But it's kind of interesting to me that before, there were all these comments saying, like, why is Samsung so similar to Apple with, like, this, this, and this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, you know what? We can do something different.
Yeah. It challenged them. I think it challenged them to do something different. And I think that possibly people will get a better phone by it.
Yeah. Obviously is starting to push innovation.
I would have to wait to see the interface.
Yeah.
Because TouchWiz, I mean, I don't know if this...
Ladies do not love the TouchWiz.
Yep.
Yeah.
but honestly, if you took it, if I was in the market for a phone right now, I didn't have the Galaxy Nexus. That's what it's called, right? The Nexus mm-hmm. Prime.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the Nexus Prime. Galaxy Nexus. Right. If I didn't have it, honestly, this would be attractive to me, as would be a phone we're going to see in a little bit, the HTC One X.
Yeah.
If you ask me, that's the hottest phone on the market.
I think right now, When I first got this, the phone, when I first received it in-house, I was like,
I know you were. Yeah. Nicole was dying more than I was.
I was, and we're totally jumping over the
yeah,
next
yeah.
story. But
yeah, sorry.
I was hanging out with a buddy of mine who has an Android phone, and he was saying I think he's the Evo, and he's like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm up for renewal. I should change. I'm thinking about jumping ship, and I'm like, no, dude, no, wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're on Sprint, awesome. Get the HTC One X. Trust me, this is a hot phone.
Oh, but this one is on AT&T,
but it's going to be on the Evo.
The Evo is basically the same.
I was showing. We'll talk about that phone in another. But the S3, as I said before, I feel like I'm not really excited by it, honestly. So, and I am a Samsung fangirl.
I love my
Galaxy S2.
So what is it that's turning you off about it?
Well,
is it too big?
It's too big. First of all,
you don't like to project movies onto your phone.
Project movies onto your phone.
You see, you set the projector up over here, and you hold the phone here.
Well, there's going to be a ton of accessories for me to do that, apparently.
Exactly,
with the
S3.
They
rolled out a ton of accessories.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, now that I've modded my phone, I'm living with vanilla. It's kind of like, it's like, oh, really? I don't like the TouchWiz. No. Mm. Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to get this phone. We'll see. I mean, I have yet to touch it and play with it and see what... all the cool features, see how these features really work, but undecided, but probably not.
Yep.
On to you, Nicole.
All right. So Samsung was not the big, it's not the only big event last week. This week marks the start of CTIA in New Orleans, and there are a couple of announcements here and there. One announcement was, we heard from Asus that they're delaying the Asus Pad phone.
Dude, I've been waiting for this.
Due to the Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 shortage. So the Asus Pad phone, I don't know if you guys remember, but it was the phone that can fit inside the tablet, that can fit inside a keyboard dock.
Yeah, I love
the one that we've been wanting to see. I've been waiting for this. And now there's delays
It's like, the turducken. So
we put your phone in a tablet. We put your tablet in a laptop.
Yeah, we win!
The Russian dolls, you know?
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
But yeah, apparently there were some problems with the Qualcomm chips shortages in Asus Indonesia, I believe. And they were saying that has delayed the Pad phone's launch in at least some markets.
I think this phone took all the Qualcomm S4 chips, but we'll get to that in a minute.
The other big announcement is that Verizon has officially announced the HTC Droid Incredible 4G LTE.
Mm.
So this is, from first glance, it looks like basically the Droid Incredible, but with 4G LTE, which is good if you're a Verizon customer and you've been dying to have another LTE phone to play around with. And this one has a... Let's see, it has HTC Sense 4 on it, Android 4.0, of course, a 4-inch Super LCD QHD screen, a dual-core Snapdragon S4 processor, and looks pretty good to me. And it's pretty standard, I think, in terms of the design. It doesn't look too different from the old one, but it does have 4G on it. So,
and don't forget the Verizon bloatware.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
I'm interested, but I would like to move to Verizon because I like their network, but I don't know. I still don't know about this one either. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know what it is? The Super LCD QHD screen. I don't know. all right. Well, let's move on to my review of the HTC One X. And just a little bit of information before we roll a little bit of video here. It will be available on AT&T now. It's available on AT&T now in white, the white that I have here, or gray. And it's $199 with a two-year contract. But Amazon has a deal right now, apparently, for $149 with the two-year contract. Let's go ahead and show off. Now, there's a video that I went ahead and reviewed this phone for Before You Buy, Nicole's show, and have a little bit of the excerpt of that video.
So what we have here is a gorgeous 4.7 HD Super LCD 2 screen. That's 1280 by 720. Gorgeous colors coming out of this device. And it's also running 1.5 gigahertz dual-core Qualcomm Snapdragon S4 processor. Now, it's different from the international version, which is quad-core, but I don't really think that makes too much of a difference, at least on my end. It's also running Android 4.0. It actually is shipping with Ice Cream Sandwich, the latest operating system from Android. And as it says down here, it is running HTC's new Sense version 4.0. Now, the Ice Cream Sandwich version, this is not a vanilla Ice Cream Sandwich version, so there's a little bit of differences here. For instance, the Task Manager looks like this, and I get rid of recent apps that way. Folders are a little bit different. Not the traditional circle that you would see with a vanilla device. But other than that, everything here, processing-wise, the speed runs really snappy and very, very fluid. You'll see as I change from app to app. Let me launch a browser here. Super quick, super snappy. That's relatively fast considering how much is on this page. And this is not the mobile version. They've given you the full website page here. Storage on this device is only 16 gigs, not 32. There's no 32 gig option like you can have with the international version. So that's kind of a ding. Has 1 gig of memory. The battery on this thing is an 1800 milliamp lithium ion, and it's embedded. So it's non-removable. You can't take the battery out. That might be a deal breaker for some people. Taking a look at the design of this camera itself, it's super lightweight, has a polycarbonate unibody design here. Really nice. And on the edges here, and here it's matte finish on the back side here. And then on the side, just a little bit of gloss. Again, this is running on AT&T's HSPA Plus network, and if your city has it, LTE, very, very fast speeds. And again, super, super light. The power button up here, speakers, And now this includes Beats. HTC has been touting the Beats audio system. But another thing amazing about this phone is the camera. 8-megapixel camera in the back with an LED flash and a 1.3-megapixel camera on the front. It is definitely the best camera I have used on an Android phone as of yet. The picture quality is amazing. You get 720p video and you get a wide-angle lens here. Look at that photo. Macro shots. The camera speed and taking photos, really, really snappy. Here, I'll put my shoe in here. That's how fast it is. Just amazing quality. The video quality is just as great, too.
And on the sidewalk.
No, I wasn't suggesting.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting. You could.
There's even slow-mo video. I love that. Panorama, HDR. Lots of options on this phone. And great picture quality. Again, this is a 4.7-inch display. That might be a little too big for some of you out there. I'm a little skittish about having a 4.7-inch phone myself. It is pretty big in the hand, and you have a hard time, like me, moving unless I hold it with two hands to get up to notifications, as you can see here. Again, not a deal breaker for everyone, but if there are those of you out there who have an iPhone and you're thinking about upgrading, you know, these phones are pretty big.
You guys like my nails in the chat room. I know. I saw a lot of chatter about my nails. They're not as good as they were when I shot that video, I don't know, 4 days ago. They're a little more ghetto today, but they're my nails. They're still the same color. Thanks for the comments, everybody.
Your nails actually make the phone look better.
Do they?
Yeah, it looks more glamorous.
It matches the white of the 1X. Okay, one thing I wanted, I left out. Behind the scenes note, I had to retake half of that review because we had a corrupted file. So, and when I redid the review, it was corrupted and it's going to go to a law court where you were going to be able to judge Ron. And I forgot to mention that this phone actually has NFC built in. And that was when I posted that review on my G Plus account, people were like, oh, is there NFC? Yes, 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 there is. And the battery life, I need to emphasize, is pretty darn good. I went 8 to 10 hours on average, sometimes 12. And, you know, at 12, it would be at, what, 20 or 30%. But yeah, pretty decent for a non-removable battery phone.
And I think that's key. That's absolutely key.
Yeah. Very, very key. It's 1,800 milliamp battery. One piece of news, though. Apparently, there is... some people are a little upset because the bootloader has been denied. There's an official unlock solution because of restrictions. HTC has commented restrictions prevent certain devices from participating in our bootloader unlocking program, and they're kind of blaming AT&T for that. So some people may not like that, so that's a big boo, and that might be a decision for you not to get the phone. Personally, I'm really, really tempted. The only thing for me, as we've mentioned, I am a big digital hoarder, so 16 gigs. Right now, I barely have any apps on here, and you guys know I download tons of apps. My S2 has tons and tons and tons of apps on here, but I have a micro SD card and lots of space, and this phone already... in the apps section, there's 2 gigs left, but then in the, and not just apps that I download, I put lots of music, you know, I'm not so into the cloud yet. So now I only have 9 gigs left. I barely put anything on this phone.
Okay. But here's the counterpoint to that is that I was just like you. I was just like you once.
Were you?
I needed a phone that had an SD card. I'm like, I want as much data, whatever. Couple points.
Okay.
1, 9 gig is a lot of data. I almost want to challenge you over the next week to fill up that 9 gig and see how long it takes you. And don't go and put a 2-hour movie on it or anything like that. You know,
but
like
my music and stuff.
Right, yeah, so load it with your music. Secondly, I think that we are having a constraint on file size makes you learn to use the phone within those constraints. So if you only have 16 gig, then what you do is you limit to the apps that you absolutely need. Mm-hmm. You learn to embrace the cloud. You utilize, you know what I mean? And you make the phone work for you. I haven't had a phone with an SD card in 2 phones now, and I have never looked back.
Well, how many gigs is your Nexus?
I don't even know. I have no idea.
He doesn't care.
It doesn't matter. I don't care because I haven't run into it. I haven't had a problem. I have not had a problem.
CR1 in the chat room says that's very Jobsian of you.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Well, that's true, though. I mean, that's the whole you know, the iPhone, iPod philosophy, right?
Okay, so flash memory. So apparently on this, that's loading now.
You have 16 gigs.
I have 16 gig, okay. And it looks as if I have...
I've used three.
I have 13 gig free on this phone, and I've had this phone for about a month now. See, it's doable. It's totally, you can live in a 16 gig world.
That's our title for our show. Skeptical. You can live in a 16 gig world. I am not convinced, but all right, fine. Let me try. I'm going to fill this up this week. Yeah. And on Monday, I'm going to tell you that I can't use it because it's full.
That's my challenge to you.
All right, Ron, I'll take the challenge. Right. Thank you very much. But I did conclude, if you had watched Before You Buy, to buy this.
Someone snarky in the chat room said, made a quote that said, we're sorry Dropbox is down for maintenance.
See?
I don't use Dropbox. I mean, I use Dropbox, but I'm not dependent on Dropbox.
Are you using Google Drive now?
I'm using Google Drive, but like when I'm talking about embracing the cloud, I'm talking about using Google Music for my music or RDO or Spotify, which you already use, which I know you already use.
I love RDO.
I use Netflix for streaming video. Like, honestly, I don't have any
media on
this device.
Make sure you have an unlimited plan.
Although,
you have to have an unlimited plan. First of all, I got a warning. I know this is not my, this is our review phone, but it already gave me a warning. Oh, by the way, your data usage is up because I was watching Bones at the gym this morning. So, you know.
I paid through the nose for my data. But I did, although now I'm totally schizophrenic because I did come up, now I have a counterpoint to my point, which was last week when I was flying to Vegas, I got on the plane and realized I forgot to make some of my music in Google Music offline.
And so
I was stuck on a Southwest flight with nothing to listen to and nearly killed myself. Like, I was looking for sharp objects. I was like, oh my God, I can't. I don't want to listen to these people's conversation. Have you been on a plane going to Vegas in the middle of the day? It's awful.
Oh, why? What do they talk about?
They were because they're going to get drunk and it's a bachelorette party and
blah, blah, blah.
And then behind me, I had Prager and Mao just chatting the entire time and listening to David Prager. I love David Prager, but listening to him for an hour and a half. It's exhausting.
David, I hope you're not listening. All right. Well, that was the HTC One. If you have any other questions, just hit me up on Twitter or on Google Plus. Email.
On to email. So James R. from Independence, Missouri writes in and says, loyal listener, though I'm mainly an Apple fan zombie.
Ruh-roh.
This may have changed. Micro Center had a refurb Acer Icona A100 8 gig tablet for $199. I bought it and I'm now in love. It's roughly the size of a Kindle, and it has a really good hardware lineup. Think I may have just wasted $700 plus on the new iPad after using this. Factory sent with Honeycomb, but when I updated the software a couple times, suddenly I'm greeted with ice cream sandwich. So basically, it's a $200 ice cream sandwich tablet that can compete with the Kindle and Nook. I'm in love with it. So that's a nice little success story.
That is a nice success story. We did get a few emails about the Acer Icona tablets, and they, you know, why aren't you guys talking about that? Are we getting any of those in?
Yeah, we're going to get this eventually.
Well, I mean, Nicole says we're going to get some.
And I think it's also interesting because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, my Sony Tablet S, I got the ice cream sandwich update on this as well. So you're starting to see ice cream sandwich on more and more tablets.
Yeah, it's so.
And it's becoming, the tablet space are becoming a big deal. And it's become much more competitive as the OS gets upgraded.
Mm-hmm. How are you liking the ICS on that tablet?
I like it. I mean, it's you know.
Doesn't it run a little bit smoother?
It does run a little smoother. Yeah. It was a little, you know, like this is already a nice tablet to begin with. But,
right.
But I did notice a little touch points. I'm biased because I've had ice cream sandwich on the Zoom as well. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, it just caught up basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a great little tablet. So
all right.
A little more money than the Acer, but yeah.
Well, good. Thank you, James R. Moving on to apps.
All right, so Google Play is about to pass 15 billion app downloads, but apparently there was this headline on TechCrunch that it apparently did that weeks ago.
ding, 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 cha-ching, cha-ching, 15 billion app downloads.
Right, so way to blow your own horn, Google. Yesterday, a newspaper in the UK, the Independent, ran a short item about how Google was about to reach an app milestone, 15 billion apps downloaded. So we reached out to Google to ask about this, and they said it already happened a few weeks ago.
Say what?
The last number that Google released with more public declaration was 11 billion downloads, and that was when it was still called the Android market before it was changed the name to Google Play. And 15 billion app downloads.
I mean, just like we were talking about earlier with Flipboard, I mean, more and more apps of note that maybe the iOS ecosystem have had for a long time are now coming and even debuting alongside the iOS counterpart. So it's just a matter of time. It really is.
It was funny because when I was in Vegas, I was actually at a conference and we were talking specifically about mobile and apps, and I was actually getting into a fight with a guy who is a iOS developer and the guy who runs Crosswalk.
You got into a fight with somebody?
No, like a little verbal spat. That's all. And he made the point. He's just like, well, why do all the apps debut on iOS then get ported over to Android? And we were talking about, you know, has Android had a breakout hit that has been Android only and then got ported back to iOS and that sort of thing. But I think we've got to see the pendulum kind of swing towards, you know, them being, you know, simultaneous releases. If I was starting a company now and doing mobile development, I'd be doing simultaneous releases because you're stupid if you're not. But yeah, it's just interesting to see how that kind of, you know, plays out. But he had to give him credit. I've yet to see an Android app that is a breakout Android only hit that everyone's talking about the way iOS has had some hits over the years.
That's true. And there's still some stories of certain app developers that are, you know, I'm leaving the Android ecosystem because I'm not making any money
It's tough because I'm getting a little divergence here, but I interviewed the guy Sahil Lavinga, who runs Gumroad, which is a new startup. They just got some funding, and it's basically mobile payments through social sharing. So I'd be like, I want to sell something and post it on Twitter, and it's a direct link. Super cool idea. But I interviewed him talking about mobile, and he started out on iOS, but he thinks Android is interesting because of what they're doing and there's more opportunity in Android, but ultimately iOS is more fun to develop.
Okay.
And that fun factor is why Android isn't getting a bunch of cool apps being done, because developers aren't having fun doing it. Because Java's kind of boring and that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm not a developer. I can't, you know, I can't say that point, but that's a not surprising feeling. But speaking of apps that are hits on Android, I know many, many people, including our own Jason Howell, swear by Titanium Backup.
Me too.
And you do as well, for those rooted phones. Well, now Titanium Backup Pro now syncs to Google Drive.
Yeah.
Mere, 2 weeks after Google Drive comes out? Titanium Pro comes out with an update, and the big update is that now it supports syncing and backing up your data to Google Drive, which is pretty cool.
As you're learning how to root and live with a rooted ROMed phone, you learn, as you do updates, nightly updates like I have, to rely on Titanium Backup as your best friend.
Yep.
And you don't lose text messages and just lots of things.
So if you are migrating to Google Drive, or maybe you're a new user and you're just and you're committing to Google Drive, now you've got that option.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty awesome. Cool. Very cool. Okay, so one last thing. I added this link. One of my favorite TV shows, and we always talk a lot about TV shows, Ron, you and I, is Fringe, and it's on every Friday nights, and they will have one last season this week, and they've been using Android devices the whole run of this show. This week, they used Google Wallet to pay for coffee, and then the guy died immediately afterwards.
Was it related to Google Wallet? Because really, he was infected.
He was infected on an escalator, but it was funny because at first I thought, oh, is it because he drank the coffee that he paid for with the Google Wallet? And it just leads to my, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen Android in tons of shows,
Gossip Girl all the time.
Gossip
Girl's almost completely moved to Android because they had that Verizon sponsorship a couple years ago.
Oh, I see. Yeah. The Vampire Diaries is a show I watch. One of the vampires uses a note.
That's another CW to his other vampire brother.
Yes.
I think CW is more droid friendly.
Yeah, they are. And I couldn't. One of the ingenue, the character's name is Elena, had a white Samsung phone. And for the life of me, I was like, is that the S2 or is that the Skyrocket? It is not the Note. I kept staring at it and actually went, and this is how weird I am. But I rewound. I'm like, pause. What is that phone? And I think it was the Skyrocket. But I don't know if the Skyrocket comes in white. But anyway, I keep my eye.
Skyrocket in white.
Oh, no. I keep my eye out for all of that all the time. And when I was watching NBC.com, I was their ads in between were all Droid. Droid does. They had their new commercial campaign.
I've been watching. I watch TV at the gym. We've talked about this before. And I was catching up on the week's TV, and I was watching on Hulu. And if I see that commercial with the daughter and the mom crying,
and the
closed captioning under the thing, where and they end up getting the Droid Max. Uh-huh. So they could talk on Skype, but if I see it one more time,
you're gonna cry. It's everywhere. Yeah. I see Android everywhere in Hollywood and.
But not to get off of the what's the word I'm looking for,
the
Android love. This does pick up on the fact, maybe you talked about it last week, I missed the show, but Google Wallet now is available for download for more phones.
So
that just reminded me, I just installed it on my phone and I'm going to try it.
Ooh,
because
Pete's Coffee.
Now that I can get Pete's Coffee. But I did, I was at Cyclass Coffee in San Francisco and I used Square. Now I know what you're talking about. I was just like, this is amazing.
I
want to try it with the Google Wallet. So hopefully the convenience store around the corner from my house takes it and then I'll be able to use it.
Well, let us know if you see a show with an Android in it. I like to know about these things, too, because whenever I see somebody using an Android, I'm like, oh, see, it's not an iPhone.
I was watching The Good Wife, and it was season one. Ooh. But I'm on season one, but it's 2009, but still I don't think this is acceptable. And somebody had to get files off of a desktop, and they plugged the USB key into a Dell tower, and the screen was OS X. And I was like, come on.
Continuity error.
Yeah, there have been many times when I spotted things like that.
Yeah. We're nerds, but that's what we do. Anyway, and I watched The Good Wife. On to another question, another email actually related to TV. I was watching Good Wife on my Google TV. Mm-hmm. But Anonymous writes in and says, hey, AAA crew, I had a question about Google TV. I'm a heavy Android user and have been for some time, but I need some advice on the Google TV. I just got one from a friend and want to replace my Roku's with it. The only issue is HBO Go and Hulu Plus. I just wanted to see what you guys are seeing people do with this. I know I can use the websites, but that hamstrings the user experience so much that my wife would kill me. The Google TV is the only device that I have not rooted, so I'm interested in the AAA cast and listeners' opinions on rooting the Google TV. Is it worth it? Thanks. Love the show. Hands down my favorite Android podcast. You're welcome. So here's the story. Hulu Plus and Google and Hulu just in general and Google have not come to any sort of terms. So even if you were using Google TV, you couldn't even go to Hulu's website and watch Hulu on it stock without rooting. There is an HBO Go app.
Yes, there is, and I have it. So
I don't have cable, so I don't get HBO.
You have to obviously this person must have a subscription to HBO.
We should also note that some cable companies don't like HBO Go, and they may not support it on the Google TV, right. So you have to make sure.
It depends on your area.
Check with your cable provider to see if Google HBO Go is supported. But if you get a Google TV and you keep it stock, you can use the HBO Go app. That takes care of one side of it.
Right.
Now, the other side of it is if you do want to root your Google TV, HBO Go, the app will still work, whatever. But there are ways to work around the Hulu restriction that Google and Hulu have put in place there. But they need to root in order to do that. And I believe that only opens up Hulu via the web. There is no Hulu app. That I'm aware of, that rooted or unrooted, that will work on the Google TV.
Yeah.
So, kind of SOL if you want Hulu. But that said, I feel like a lot of the content on Hulu can be found elsewhere.
Yeah.
You can watch on the Google TV, and the Google TV's got that great TV and movies app that'll tell you where it's available, and you might want to look into either an Amazon Prime membership, or it depends on what you're watching.
I mean, this is probably more of a frame rate discussion, but I do agree Hulu Plus is not the best deal out there.
No, it's not. I agree. I totally agree.
No, it's not. So, not at all. No.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So there you go, Google TV.
Yeah.
I just said it.
We'll be talking more about it tomorrow. There you go. This is just a warm-up for us.
Exactly.
All right, let's move into the arena.
To enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Last week's arena was really, really tight. And it looks like our pal Aaron pulled out and won. He got all of North America and Canada. North America is Canada's part.
It was close.
America.
I love it when the guest wins.
The guest won. Actually, Aaron's going to be on the show next week. So we'll let him go last next week. Well, I guess. Well, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
He's not here. So Drisk is a risk type game on Android. He won. I came in second with Wave Control. And Nicole, you came in third, but very close with Street View. So none of us should be upset at the outcome because we were all really close. There you go. Congrats to Aaron. I'll tell him next week when he's here. So moving on. We have Ron back for the arena.
Yes, I'm back. And before we start, I feel like Tech Ace in the chat room, I feel like whenever the arena starts, he just needs to give us the score of where everybody's at because I don't remember how many wins I have or not.
I don't either.
Yeah, so Tech Ace, that's your new job in the chat room. When the arena starts, let us know what the standings
exactly,
are.
Exactly, exactly.
But anyway, so in my march towards trying to win arenas, I've been on the lookout for really pretty apps and unique ones, trying to, do different things. I've been looking at games and all that sort of stuff. But for this week's arena, I thought I would kind of lean on some developers who have done right by me in the past.
Hmm.
You might remember my enthusiastic win earlier this year. That was Cocktail Flow.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
We'll never forget Cocktail Flow.
So the guys behind Cocktail Flow got in touch with me and let me know that they thanked me for enjoying Cocktail Flow. And they said, hey, just so you know, we're working on a new app. We'll let you know when it's out. And they let me know, and I checked it out, and it is called Weatherflow. And it is an entry into a weather app. Now, that said, I kind of hold all of the weather apps up to the standard of that one weather app that Jason discovered.
Mm-hmm.
I think Weatherflow comes very, very close, if not possibly surpasses it.
Uh-oh.
So we'll just dive right into it. So you see here, this is the app. So I pulled up the weather for New York City.
That's nice. I like that.
It's pretty, right?
I just
right?
like the look of that, yep. period. Yeah.
So now I'll get to that function. So if you think this is a little too boring, this kind of infographic style, you just go up and hit the I didn't turn my touches on. I'm sorry. Well, you bear with me. You can go to the settings, and here you can easily manage your locations. So I keep my current location as a location, as well as New York because I'm in New York, Berkeley because I'm in Berkeley a lot, and San Francisco because I live there. But then slide over to display. Now you'll notice that they're using the ice cream sandwich kind of menu navigation and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. So that's pretty cool. You can adjust the type of units, whether you want a metric or imperial. I had no idea Fahrenheit was imperial. I didn't know that was what it was called. I just thought it was Fahrenheit. But apparently we go by the imperial measurement of units.
Right.
But they have two different themes here. So they've got typographic, which is the one that you saw there. But then you could also change it to rich, which is pretty. And I'll back out and do that. And so now,
it's more graphic.
What it does is look at this.
Right.
It picks up not only the time, but then it also gives you a kind of rich experience based on the weather. So if I change to Berkeley, you'll see that it's daylight, so it's going to change the sun, and it's going to adjust what it shows based off the sun being out. If it was raining,
I like that.
It would be rainy and dark and gray.
Oh, and it moves. Look at the
Yeah,
moves.
The subtle
Whoa.
Kind of animation movement, mm-hmm. but still keeps that pretty nice kind of
Dude, I'm a sucker
kind of
for weather apps,
yeah,
so.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's the weather for San Francisco. It's clear, and just look, it's a beautiful day in San
look
Francisco.
At look at that road. It's like the road you
yeah.
come to Petaluma, right?
Exactly.
The
it looks
road.
A lot like that. It looks like Novato. So, but also in the settings, you can adjust the lightness of the theme, so you can make it light mm-hmm. or dark. You can change. You see, so there I changed it dark, and it went to dark. You can change the color of the theme. So you notice I've got these green kind of highlights. I can change that to a little bit of blue, like ice cream sandwich, or if you want a little red, you can go for red. You can adjust the time format. Some people, our friends in the UK, prefer the 24-hour clock. 12-hour. We prefer the 12-hour clock. You can adjust the refresh rate, whether you want to update every hour, every 3 hours, or do it manually. And you can adjust the language. So it's that's about it. It's really simple, and it's just a good weather app. Really simple to just flow through, to just scroll through your different locations. Here's the weather in Novato. See, it's 86 degrees. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. I love it.
You get a little 5-day forecast.
You it's
can
really
you can switch over to the hourly forecast if you want to get an idea of what the night's going to look like. And then, of course, it's got a widget. So here you can see – now my widget is weird because I've got the MHL, this thing. So it's not displaying correctly.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's got a widget that is both kind of see-through, and then they've also got a – let me go to the widgets. I like it that they really try to adjust for what you might want. So they've got what they call the smoked widget, which is that kind of see-through one. Then they've got let's see.
Wait, what is the see-through one?
This is
oh,
the see-through
that's
one.
That's the
yeah.
one. Okay.
Yep. So I'll get rid of the see-through one for now, and then I will add this one. Oh, I can't drop them. Oh, see. Oh well. Anyway, you can't see the widgets because of the orientation issue.
Oh right.
But anyway, widget fail. But they're very nice widgets. So there you go.
I believe you. That's so, really nice.
Yeah. So Weatherflow, it's just they did a really good job on this app, and it's very simple. It doesn't have as much data as One Weather, and it doesn't have the social kind of the stuff. But honestly, I don't need to see people tweeting about the rain. I know it's raining. I don't want to know that. it doesn't have radar or anything like that. But you know, but I thought about it, and because I was comparing this between One Weather and Weatherflow.
Okay.
And so One Weather, it's really pretty. It's got the infographic thing. Okay, they're kind of equal on that. One Weather, I can change the backgrounds. This one, I can change the theme. But then One Weather has the social stream and it has radar screens. You know how many times I look at the radar screen?
Never.
Never.
Well, also, is One Weather for ICS only?
It might be, actually. I didn't look into that.
Okay. I can't remember. I wasn't on that episode when he did it. I know it's a great app. But so this was for everybody, though.
I think so. I actually didn't look at the compatibility. I have ice cream sandwich, so I don't really think about that.
But, no, you don't really care about the rest of us.
So
everybody. Although now I'm part of the 2%.
Yeah. But I don't know. Weatherflow, if you ask me, beautifully designed, very functional, and... and it's $1.99, so it's not free, so you do have to pay for it. But it's simple, and it's to the point, and it just gives you what you need to know. What the temperature is, what is the temperature going to be for the rest of the, for a few hours from now, what does the 5 days of the week look like?
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah, so there
awesome.
You go. One Weather.
Okay, apparently it is the 5% now, not the 2%, and One Weather works on gingerbread. So,
all right.
Yay.
So
that's according to the chat room. I believe you. Nicole!
Okay,
here we go. I can't wait for this demo.
Okay, so everybody knows that the iPhone has Siri, and Siri is that voice assistant. Google, I think they announced Majel. Didn't they announce Majel?
Well, but see, Samsung's going to have the S
and
voice.
Samsung's going to have the S voice. So there
or
are,
Samsung Galaxy S.
And apparently it's based on Iris. So there are alternate solutions, and this is one of the other solutions. It's actually called the actual sort of parenthetical in the Google Play Store. It's called Siri for Android, and... the app is called Skyvee. All right, let me see if this works. I'm going to tap this microphone here. Okay, I'm going to tap it. Send text.
Who would you like to text?
Eileen. Oh, come on. Demo fail.
What is the message?
Hold on. Sorry. Demo fail.
This is so hard.
Cancel.
This is so hard, Nicole.
I did it earlier. Okay, let me do it again.
Did you delete me from your contacts?
Send text.
Who would you like to text?
Eileen.
What is the message?
Hello.
Hello to Eileen.
Sorry. And he sent it.
Text faster. Say in one sentence.
Text faster. Say in
so you can say things like send text.
There you go. Cool.
And it's I think she should have received it right.
I did.
Yeah, she
I just
did.
Got
I can
it.
Confirm that she received it. I can confirm that. Okay. Impartial judge.
You can also say things like, for example, find pizza. Sorry. Thanks a lot.
I found extreme.
I don't can you have an overhead shot? So it finds all these pizza places right there. Extreme Pizza, Mary Pizza. So basically, it's kind of like... I mean, it's not perfect because you do have to wait a little bit.
Can it do like, remind me to do... It does that.
It does reminders.
Remind me to clean my fridge.
It does reminders. You can say like weather.
Can you search? You can search.
Yeah, you can search. You can say like... what's the capital of Mauritius? And you'll come up with the answer.
And call. You can say call Eileen.
You can say call Eileen, call whoever. You can
love,
do that.
I love the it's not anything to do with the app, but the behavioral thing of having to go, like when we're doing speech recognition, I do the same thing in the car. Like I'll be like, sometimes I'll be driving and I don't want to text all the time. I'm like, oh, I'll use a speak thing. I'll be like, I will be there later. And like you turn into this weirdo. And like you think these apps should be designed to talk normally, but us in our heads, we think we have to talk, like it's like when my mother raises her voice when she meets somebody foreign.
How are you? Can you understand me?
If you pair your Twitter or Facebook account to the app, you can say like Facebook and it'll post to Facebook.
Can you tweet?
It'll post to Twitter.
Or do you have to say Twitter?
Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm doing a demo. See, now I'm doing it slow.
Can you control the music on your app? Can you say play?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's see that.
Ooh, I don't know. Let's try.
I'm really interested.
Play music.
I can do. Tap the menu button on the lower right.
Well, you asked me the instrument. Apparently guitar. I have no idea.
Interesting. That is a hypothetical question. I can also send text messages.
See, it's smart. It talks back to you. It's hilarious.
That's a hypothetical question.
Guitar.
So there's also a hands-free mode where you can tap it, and then, you know, when you're in your car, you can't do this in your car.
Yeah.
Right? So apparently there's a voice command mode.
Oh, that's good. Do you actually have music on there? Like, could you launch, like, play Lady Gaga and see if that works? No.
Sorry, it was on
there's
the whole time.
There's probably no...
It was trying to interpret what you were saying.
Can you play Lady Gaga? Demo's going way
out. This is fantastic. This is great TV.
But it can do a lot more than sending... it has a lot of different uses to it. The developer is still, you know, making it better, and they'll, you know, obviously have more things to do with it. But it's free for now. There are some ads.
It should be free.
Yeah, it's totally free. It's free. But it's fun. Come on.
Yeah, that's cool. That is cool. I like the social connection to it. That's pretty neat.
Oh, what's one of the jokes? The Siri jokes. I can't remember now.
Oh, where can I hide a body?
Let's try that.
Yeah,
that's awful.
Where can I hide a body?
Oh, bury a body. Dang it.
I found GNC Autobody 1.1 miles from you.
Actually, Autobody. Actually, an auto body shop. That's about right. Yeah.
There you go.
Where do I bury a body? That's what the these are weird questions. Are you a male or female? Try that.
Okay. Are you a male or female?
Whoa.
I am a female artificial life form. Are you a man or a woman? I can also send texts fast. Say, text Jennifer hello.
Wow. Okay, so this is, now we're getting way off the rails, but I went to the gym today and I overheard a conversation with one of the trainers, and they were talking about Siri, and that woman asked, you know, are you a male or a female? And they were freaking out about how it wouldn't answer. It said, this is not a logical question, but it was really just sort of
irrelevant.
Yeah. Right. Like, no, this is vague. We're not going to answer. But that one answered.
Do you remember Eliza? Do you remember that game?
No.
There was an old game for DOS that was just like, basically you just, it was like a psychiatrist that you just asked the questions and it would answer them back, or like ask you questions in return. And it's very similar to talking to these things.
Okay, hold on.
Okay, you got a new one? We're going to have...
What is the meaning of life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Anyway, come on. Come on, Skyvie. Ooh, it's having a hard time thinking about life. Life is not an easy answer.
Oh, he has no answer.
No answer.
No answer to the meaning of life, everyone.
Oh, it would have been awesome. Yeah, if they had said, what is 42? That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who is the host of Jeopardy? Let's see. Now that I'm thinking about answering with a question, this is going to go on forever.
It's going to be forever. This is the longest demo.
My demo is going to be really
quick. It's the longest demo. Okay.
Sorry, we're good on time.
Yeah, we're good on time. Go ahead.
Who is the host of Jeopardy?
George Alexander Alex Trebek, born July 22, 1940, is a Canadian-American television personality.
Very true. I was like, George.
Boom. Demo. That was great.
Boom.
Boom. Is that a fact? Nicole was like,
is
boom.
Is that a fact?
Boom. And Skype says, is that a fact? This is too... Okay, you can have hours of fun for a while.
This is a lot of fun. Okay, it may not be too useful, but it's a lot of fun.
If anything, it'll make your friends laugh when you're all around the house just hanging out and just talking to it.
Yeah, so and it's free.
That'll be, the next draw something is that. So, ouch. All right. Thank you, Nicole. That was great. Skyvie Siri for Android is free in the Google Play Store. My app might have helped you today, Ron, when you needed to sign... A PDF document and send it to me. If you had this app, you would have been able to sign your expense report.
If only I'd known.
Right.
Yeah.
I kind of thought about telling you, and then I was
I
don't know why.
You wanted to show your cards in the arena.
Yeah. I didn't want to tell you about it. Okay. So my app is called DocuSign Inc., and it's free in the Google Play Store. I'm getting used to saying that Google Play Store. And really, it's been actually really helpful because I've had to sign some documents recently. What you need to do is you... just sign up for a DocuSign account with your email and then put your pick a password and whatnot. Once you launch the app, you will be given several options. I'm going to show you on the tablet in a minute. But first of all, I'm going to do a trial here. And when I go into documents, well, let's just try it out. What it asked me to do first, and I didn't see this on the tablet, cool. But they give you pens.
Ooh,
I had no idea. You can do it in crayons. Can I do the crayon?
Can you sign with a crayon? No, that'd be awesome. Nope.
Why not?
Well, apparently, it's just to show you. It's just to tease you.
Is it just to tease me?
Aw.
Well, I signed it earlier. Apparently, you have a... Oh, maybe that's why, because I signed it earlier. But
it's like demo field today.
Maybe it's crashed.
Maybe it's crashed. Oh, look at that.
I don't know. Who knows?
Well, anyway. Okay, so why is that?
I don't see anything happen in this demo.
I know. I didn't do that earlier. Oh, whatever. You guys don't have to vote for me.
Come on.
Okay. Well, I did sign a document. I did put my signature in with my account. And I'll show you that.
Sure you did.
I did. Don't you want to see my signature?
What device is this?
Huh? Oh, yeah. This is the Toshiba Excite.
Every show you have a different tablet.
I know. That's because of Nicole. I'm actually going, close the app and relaunch it. Oh, too late now. No, this is the Toshiba Excite new 10.
That is a sexy looking tablet.
It's very thin.
It's very thin. Yeah.
It's apparently.
Who cares about the app?
It's it's apparently the thinnest 10 inch Android tablet or something like that. One of those.
Oh, you need to hook me up a little more.
You need to ask.
I know.
All right. So I'm just going to show you really quick. I've already prepared my signature, and then here's a document here. I can initial, I could do lots of different things here. Why is this not working?
I mean, honestly, this solves such a problem. Like, I am shocked at the fact that when I'm doing contracts and stuff like that, I need to print it, sign it, scan it, and then send, you know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a better way.
There we go.
It just sounded so infomercially there.
Yeah,
there's
got to
be a better way.
So here's like a field trip permission form, and then you could choose, do you need to put your signature? So I've already done my signature. It saves your signature once you do it. Oh, you can't see. This is too bright.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Is that better?
There you go. Yeah, it's better. Yeah, that's better. Right.
So, All right. So, from the right-hand corner, you have signature, initial. You save. You do your signatures and your initial one time. You can change it, too, if your last name changes or whatnot. And then there's fields for my name, date, sign, text, checkbox. I'm just going to put my signature. I'm going to throw it where it needs to be. Look, I'm a parent guardian, whatever. And then I put it in there, hit another field. So if I want to put like date signed, you can do that. Throw the date down there.
Where's the little crayon thing?
With the crayon thing? Yeah. You have to do that before.
Oh, I see.
You can sign with a crayon ink and a color ink, which I didn't realize, but obviously that wasn't working for me. I don't know what's going on with that. You can also just put text. So I can move
the
text.
You can put a note.
What?
You can put a note or something.
Yeah, you can put a note, and you could just say, hi, whatever. And just move that over to location. Yeah, I'm in Hawaii. And so on and so forth. So you can fill out the form and then save it. You could actually pull the form from Dropbox or many places to pull it from, to put it into the app. So Google Docs, Boxnet, Dropbox, whatnot. And then you can email it out. You know, obviously these are PDFs that we're working with here. When you finish, are you finished? Yes. And then you're going to secure the document. You can save it onto your device, or you can email it out. And I've emailed, I did a little test with an email, and you can do that. And then there you go. You've got your demo permission slip and a certificate there.
So does it regenerate, does it send a PDF? Does it regenerate? So it regenerates a PDF with your added data.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So it's very simple and easy to use. I'm sorry about the whole pen. So if you were listening to audio, there was a pencil, crayon. There was supposed to be, you know, many different kinds of
ink. Different tools.
Different tools to sign your document. That was not working for me. Hello,
DocuSign. It'd be hilarious to sign like a legal document with a crayon.
With a crayon? Yeah, that'd be weird. But this is available for, Android, iPhone, iPad, desktop version as well. So I don't know. If you need a quick sign in and out, you know, like sending me expense report and sign that. This is, you know, this is kind of cool. They have their own cloud storage. So once you've done a document, it saves to your account. And it's free. So there's no, you don't have to worry about printing, scanning, or faxing. You just do it all online once you get your document and send it out. And you can send as many documents as you want for free. And DocuSign, I guess, I don't know, they say that they are the world's leading electronic signature network, trusted by more than 10 million users, over 55 countries. So it's safe, trusted, and reliable as well.
If you're wondering,
you know, where your signatures, you know, or your information is going.
How many installs has it had?
In the last 30 days, looks like
50,000.
Not so bad.
Not bad. Yeah.
So DocuSign Inc. and it's free in Google Play. So those are the apps for the arena. And now it's time for you to vote. Go to bit.ly/59pollAAA. Will it be Weatherflow for $1.99? Will it be Skyvee, the most amazing demo we've had thus far from Nicole, Siri for Android? Oh, they love the Skyvee, Nicole.
Oh.
Or will it be DocuSign Inc. for free? So check that out.
Wow, Skyvee gets a run.
Oh,
look at that.
Weatherflow's catching up.
No, Skyvee's, that was, see demos? Demos are important. Demos are important. Thank you, guys. Next week, we'll have another grab bag because I just like grab bags. I like just picking whatever.
Although
we
want. We got to put some thought into a theme. It's been a while since we've done a good theme. We'll wait till Jason comes back and I'll think of a good theme.
I was going to say, okay, you think of one.
All right, what were you going to say?
No. Remember, I did, we did developer apps. We did apps that
we released
in 2012.
No, I think we need to do a category.
99 cent. Remember, we got Jason got in trouble for the 99 cent.
I think we do like a category app. Like we'll find the best, you know, spreadsheet app or like something, you know, something really exciting like
spreadsheet.
That. Personal finance.
The thing about those, okay, when we get into some of those categories, I always feel, especially like when we did podcast app, there was always one app that runs away, and you have to review it.
I think we need to find a category that doesn't have a breakout leader like that. This is interesting. I will think of this.
We will think.
Yes.
We will think very hard.
If you have any suggestions, tweet at me at RonXO on Twitter and give us your category suggestions.
Because we're always looking for something cool. So that's it for this week, you guys. Nicole, thank you so much for joining us again.
Sure.
And for hanging with our crew.
I'll do anything for chocolate cake.
All right. That's
and the
right.
And the
we're
going to
have chocolate cake soon. Woohoo. So, Nicole, plug away.
All right. I produce another show. Well, another show. The main show I do on Twit is Before You Buy, and that's our product review show where we have the review of the HTC One X, the full review, already up last week. And Eileen will review the Toshiba Excite 10 Android tablet. I hope for this week. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more stuff. To be reviewed on Before You Buy. twit.tv/BYB. Subscribe, please. Thank you very much.
And Ron.
I like this tablet.
I do.
This tablet is nice.
I guess you give
look
it to Henry.
That is thin. Anyway, you can find me at about.me/RonXO. And that's got links to my Google Plus page, my Facebook page, my Twitter page, and a whole bunch of other pages that you can go find me, including my day job over at Graphically, which is digital publishing at graphically.com. You can publish your own stories to iBooks, to Amazon Kindle Store, Barnes & Noble Nook, stuff like that. Or if you're into comic books, check out ifanboy.com, the comic book website I run by day with some other cool cats. And that's me.
All right.
I'm going to marvel at this tablet.
You know, we don't thank Chad enough. Thank you, Chad. OMG Chad, for running the board every week. And you're actually filling in for Jason in a different way. You're editing the show. Jason usually edits the show. So thank you so much.
I can't believe Jason had the gall to go on vacation.
3 weeks
in
a row.
Can you believe that guy?
Dude.
Be sarcastic.
You should just vote for me and Ron from now on. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Chad. All right, I'm Eileen Rivera, and you can find me on about.me/EileenRose, on Twitter at EileenTV. Don't forget, you can send us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA, email and voicemail at AAA@twit.tv, and you can also find us on Twitter at Android Show. All our show notes, twit.tv/AAA, and don't forget, you can catch us every Monday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific, around that time, at live.twit.tv. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy your life. See you next week.
Words to live by. Enjoy your life.